Welcome. You're listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. You can join us for virtual worship every Sunday at roswellpres.org. Thanks for listening.
So it's again good to be with you this morning. We've been spending the last several weeks during Lent looking at some significant prayers. The sermon series has been called Prayers That We Pray. Today, Jeff has chosen for us to look at a prayer called the Servant Prayer, written by St. Teresa of Avila. And the scripture for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. But before we go to God's word, let us once again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray together. God, we are so grateful and thankful that you are always good to us. As we come to read and study your word, we ask that we'd use this to penetrate our hearts. We open ourselves that you would mold us and shape us, motivate us, encourage us, give us the vision and the skills necessary to serve you fully and wholly as you have called us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, starting at the first verse. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, I don't measure up. And you're looking at me probably thinking, yeah, you're right. In this age where we're inundated by social media posts and even the conversations we have, I look at the lives that people are leading, the things that they're posting, and they're so glamorous and they're so exciting. All the places that they're traveling, the concerts they're attending, even people in this very room, I look at what you post, I'm like, wow. The family gatherings that seem so engaging and so exciting, and I look at my own life and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so boring. It's so mundane and ordinary. I've had several of you, Cindy and I just traveled to New Zealand a while ago, and I've heard a lot of questions about how was your time in New Zealand. So if, again, you're looking at our posts, you're thinking, what a glamorous life. What, it'd be so fun to do all those fun things. What we end up doing in those times is we're comparing our everyday, ordinary lives with the highlights of everyone else's life. And then we think, man, I don't measure up. It can be very discouraging, disheartening to have those thoughts, to believe that I don't measure up. Those thoughts, those ideas may come about for a multitude of reasons and in different ways in different times in our lives. Perhaps you were laid off. You had a job loss that was significant and you struggled to find something else that was engaging and meaningful and for which you felt it was purposeful. And you were left thinking, I really don't measure up. Maybe there was a fractured relationship of some sort. You went through a divorce, and it was difficult and painful. And in that period, in that time, you're left thinking, I guess I'm not enough. Perhaps We had some dreams or some visions, some goals that you hoped to achieve in life, and for whatever reason, those goals didn't materialize. And we might be thinking, I guess I really wasn't equipped with the skills that I thought I was. I guess I'm not as good as I thought I might have been. Past several weeks, we've been studying these significant prayers, prayers that have been kind of cornerstones in the Christian faith, prayers that have stood the test of time for years, for generations. And we've looked a little bit at the people who wrote these prayers. Now, I know this was not Jeff's intent. Jeff's intent was not to raise another marker and say, look, here's another way in which you don't quite measure up. Look at these great people and you're just normal, ordinary. That was not the purpose, but I have to be honest with you. I have found myself at times going away from these messages, thinking about these prayers, thinking about these people, and thinking, their lives are so different from my own. These were extraordinary people, and my life, my relationship with God is nothing in comparison. These giants of the faith, people like Niebuhr. We talked about St. Francis of Assisi. Last week, a week too early, really, St. Patrick of Ireland. That should have been this week. And then today, we're looking at St. Teresa of Avila. Three of them we even call saints. That demonstrates some kind of prestige, some kind of significance that pales in comparison to my own life. But let me assure you that these people were not saints as they lived. They were not saints in their own time and own place. They did not see themselves as saints. So as we unpack a little bit of the life of St. Teresa, hopefully it's encouragement to us. It's a little bit of a door open to see a very humble, hardworking person who did struggle, who had doubts, who lived with challenges, but pushed through them. And perhaps, hopefully, we gain some understanding that our lives are just as valued and just as sacred to God as were theirs. And who knows? Maybe. In the Presbyterian Church, we don't really designate saints. But that may change, right? It's possible. Sometime in the distant future, there'll be people studying the prayers and writings of St. Jeff of Atlanta, St. Daniel of No Fixed Abode, perhaps. But the prayer that Jeff chose for today, again, comes from St. Teresa of Avila, the servant prayer. And it says this: govern everything by your wisdom, Lord, so that my soul may always be serving you in the way that you will and not as I choose. Let me die to myself so that I may serve you, and let me live as to you, who is life itself. So St. Teresa of Avila was born in 1515 in Spain. She was born to a very loving and close family, a family of some means. She did not grow up impoverished. And so we might think, well, because we know of her, because we have her writings, she must have been something of huge significance, because we're separated by this time, distance, and culture. She must have been an extraordinary woman of wisdom and lived a sacrificial and giving life. That's why we remember her. But as I've prepared for this, as I've studied her life, what has struck me is her candor and her honesty. Her willingness to bare herself and say, these have been my struggles. These are the areas that I am still left in doubt and confusion. And maybe they will be help to you. That is St. Teresa's gift. So she feels a calling to become a nun. But she has this deep, close relationship with her family, and it's breaking her heart. She knows that if she's going to become a nun, she's going to have to move away, separate herself from family, and move to a convent. She doesn't want to do that. So she says of this time, I had no love of God strong enough to subdue my love for family. Everything was such a strain to me that if the Lord had not helped me, no reflections of my own would have sufficed to keep me true to my purposes. So there was some deep, some difficult, some struggle, but there was also some brevity in her life. And her candor and honesty that she demonstrated was what really drew me to her. There's one story of her later in life. She had committed herself to be a nun and then eventually began to establish another group of sisters that would serve in a different way, the Carmelites. And so she was traveling around Spain visiting these monasteries to encourage the sisters. And I don't know what time of year it was. I don't know what was going on. I just know that as she was traveling, the weather was not great. It was raining. It was damp. It was cold. The roads were awash with mud. And she, for days, was complaining to God. God, this is miserable. Can you just pull the sun out for a little while? I'm tired of getting my cart stuck. I'm tired of being cold. I'm tired of being miserable. God, do something about this. Eventually, God responds to her. God says, ah, Teresa, this is how I treat all of my friends. To which she is said to have responded, well, that explains why you have so few of them. There's an honesty and a candor in the midst of her struggles, in the midst of her recognition that my heart desires to be with family, but I know I feel called to this. This is my life, and she bears her soul in that way. So she commits to going to the convent. And in the convent, she dedicates herself. She says, I'm going to be a woman of prayer. She believes that in seeking out prayer and committing myself to prayer, that will strengthen her understanding, strengthen her relationship with God, and help her to serve God better. But she writes that for nearly 20 years, she anguished in prayer. She struggled. She hurt. She did not understand. She believed that she had not even begun to understand how to love and serve God. 20 years fully dedicated to prayer and feeling frustration that she didn't get it. This is what she says. She says, I have suffered in this conflict in prayer between my friendship with God and my friendship with the world. She recognized in herself also a tendency, a penchant for overthinking. You might have already gathered that. She thought a lot about who she was and what God wanted from her and how she was best to live her life. And she recognized that her mind never shut off. It was constant pressure that she felt, that she put on herself to get it right, to live as she felt God had called her to live. But she didn't understand what that was all the time. And she writes of that time, she began to understand her own self and her overthinking. She says, the important thing is not to think too much, but to love much. Do then whatever arouses you to love, for love consists not in the extent of your own happiness, but in the firmness of our determination to please God in everything. I don't want to burn myself out thinking too much. I just want to move my heart to just love. Begin there. She also talks candidly about periods, long periods in her life where she felt distant from God, that God was absent from her life for one reason or another. She couldn't understand it. She didn't really comprehend why. She had dedicated herself, and yet God seemed distant, just like you and I might have experienced. She looked back, she reflected on that time, and she learned this. She gleaned this from that distance. She says, "It is erroneous to think that we must leave ourselves and journey somewhere distant in order to find God. God is always accessible to us. It's up to us to continue to speak to God. However softly we speak, God is near enough to hear us." She concerned herself, she was worried that people were looking to her as this example, as this, again, woman of strength, godly, living a sacrificial life, and she was uncomfortable with that because she knew what was happening within herself. She knew that she was not the person that the people were seeing. People were recognizing the highlights and comparing the highlights of her life, the things she was writing, the things that she had come to understand with their everyday selves. They weren't seeing the everyday life of St. Teresa. And she was struggling to come to terms with, to understand her soul, her own soul. What is the purpose of my soul? What is it? And why or how does it grasp a relationship with God? She writes this: "The only things that a soul has to offer God are its own poverty and its desire for God." She recognized that she did not bring anything to the table, so to speak, in regard to her soul, that all the soul had to offer God was a desire for God. She goes on. "Everything a person possesses, whether talents, intellect, strength, or goodness, those are all gifts from God. They are given for the soul to use to glorify God. Anything that our soul has, anything that we have, God has imbued in us, given them to us as gifts. For what purpose? So that our lives can glorify God." And then in regard to her people looking to her as an example, she concludes, "My personal failings are offered as warnings for others, and any success is a testimony to the mercy of God at work in me." Ultimately, she came to realize that she was at her best in those rare moments, those very rare moments where she was solely and fully dedicated to God, that she had given of herself fully to God. That is where the prayer that Jeff chose for today comes from, that experience, those rarefied instances where she felt, "Today, I have given myself fully to God." Remember what she wrote: "Govern everything by your wisdom, Lord, so that my soul may always be serving you in the way that you will, not as I choose. Let me die to myself so that I may serve you, and let me live as to you who are life itself." Saints, we're not. At least I'm not. But we need not concern ourselves about that. The example of Sister Teresa here is one of, again, openness and candor and honesty with the real, the reality, the struggles of life, the questions, the doubts. But it's also an example of we are whole and at our best when we give of ourselves fully and completely to God. That is the moment in time. That's one of those rare moments where God's wisdom covers everything and empowers us to love and serve God as we were created to do. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful and thankful for the example of Sister Teresa, for her honesty and candor, for the recognition that she's left us with many words of wisdom and insight, but those things were hard won. And we're thankful. God, as we read in Scripture, Paul's writing to Romans, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to you daily. Every day, we wake up today and we say, God, here is my life today. We need only focus on today. Tomorrow will worry about itself. We'll do it again tomorrow. But thank you that you meet us as we are, where we are, each and every day. And that all that we have, all the gifts that we experience come from you. And we are so grateful and thankful. We pray this in Christ's name.
You've been listening to the RPC Sermons podcast. Please let us know you're here by visiting roswellpres.org and signing our digital friendship register. May the grace and love of God be with you today and throughout the rest of your week. Thanks for listening.